Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this, the third Sunday after Epiphany, from St. Matthew 8. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." He said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed." Last Sunday, our dear Savior Jesus Christ called our beloved sister Myrna Curtis out of this world to her home in heaven. As a Christian congregation, we mourn her passing, but we do not mourn as those who have no hope. For since Jesus died and rose again, even so, those who have died will be raised with him. Every Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through which God has overcome sin, death, and hell. And so I think it wonderfully fitting that Myrna, who loved and served her Savior so well, trusting in him and in his merits, should be called out of this world on the day of the Lord's resurrection. Tomorrow afternoon, we gather to give thanks for her life and her love and to commend her into the hands of our Heavenly Father. Today is the third Sunday in the Epiphany season, which began on January 6th with the Feast of the Epiphany, when the church celebrates, the coming of the wise men to worship the infant Savior. Those wise men, unlike the shepherds, were Gentiles. And so in the coming of the wise men to worship the Christ child, we see that he is the Savior not only of Jews, but also of Gentiles. All of us here this morning are Gentiles, and so also our Savior. That theme continues in the Gospel for this day, because we are told about a centurion who came to Jesus begging him to heal his grievously ill servant. A centurion was an officer in the Roman army, over 100 soldiers, a man of some position and looked up to by all. So he somehow has heard of Jesus and of Jesus' love and of Jesus' power to heal and to forgive sins. And so he comes to him and says, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." Jesus says, "I'll come and heal him." And then the centurion replies, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed." Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, But only say the word, and my servant will be healed. And then the centurion explains how he understands Jesus' word to be powerful, to be a word of authority. He uses the comparison of his own place in the Roman legions. He says to Jesus, I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, to my servant, do this, and he does it. And so he is saying that just as his soldiers obey him, take him at his word, so he, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, is prepared to take Jesus at his word, and even says he knows that if Jesus just speaks the word, his servant will be healed. And so Jesus says to the centurion, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Here we see the power of Jesus' word to heal. And that powerful word of Jesus was spoken to each one of us when we were baptized in those saving waters. There God said to you, you are my child forever. You are forgiven through the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. You are the heir of heavenly glory. And God continues to speak that powerful word whenever we hear Jesus the Savior proclaimed, as we hear that now. And even more, as we come to the altar, where under the form of the lowly bread and cup, we truly receive the very body of Christ given into death for our sins, the very blood of Christ poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. And in so giving us his body and his blood, Jesus is speaking his powerful word. You are my forgiven child. You are heir of God, heirs of heaven. You are mine forever. People often wonder whether they are worthy to receive the Lord's body and blood. After all, each one of us is a mortal sinner. We do not love God as we should, nor do we love others as we should. We are sinners. And so we may find ourselves asking, can I, as a sinner, receive the holy body, the precious blood of the sinless Son of God? The answer to that question is that those precious gifts of Christ's body and blood are only for those who know that they are sinners and have no claim on God, and must rely completely on his mercy. And so to the question, what makes me, what makes you worthy of receiving the Lord's body and blood? The simple answer to that question is worthiness for the Holy Sacrament is to know in your heart that you are not worthy. Worthiness for the Holy Sacrament is to know in your heart that you are not worthy. The centurion in today's gospel knew that he was not worthy to have Jesus enter his house. And so the word of the centurion, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed," has from ancient times been used as a prayer to say as we approach the Lord's altar to receive his body and blood. "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my soul shall be healed." Worthiness for Holy Communion is knowing that you are not worthy. The words of Jesus show us this because he speaks of his body, which is given for you, his blood, which is poured out for you, to cleanse you from all sin, so that, like our dear sister Myrna, you and I too may one day be received into the arms of that good shepherd who longs for us and promises to take us in the end to that heavenly banquet in his kingdom. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.